Okay, so today we'll try to do the self-contained shiur, and Monday through Friday will be a new topic. Self-contained meaning that it's one part in the series. Like today we'll do one particular piece, and then Monday through Friday we'll spend some nice time on another one, just so we can have more people in person for Monday through Friday, but without losing the daily aspect. The exception of Shabbos, which we already lost. Okay, whatever. Anyway, so I think what we'll do is that, well, maybe we shouldn't, because it's really a two-parter. We have the three haftaros now that der parnusa, right? The way it works is that the three Shabbosos before Tisha B'Av are right special haftaros about parnusa, retribution, divine retribution, Hashem. Finally, you know, taking revenge, or responding to the sins of Klal Yisrael, and then after Tisha B'Av, in general, what we have is seven haftaros de nechamta of nechama. Those haftaros are all from Yeshayahu, really the second part of Yeshayahu, and Yeshayahu. So there are the seven Nechamta, and the three of Parnusa. The third one is the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, which is what? What's that Shabbos? What's the Haftarah? Shabbos Chazon. Shabbos Chazon. That's Chazon Yeshayahu. That's the beginning of Yeshayahu. Now, the two before that are... It's basically a two-parter. It's the Haftarah for Matos and the Haftarah for Maaseh, or if Pinchas comes out before Shavuos or B'Tammuz, like it did this year, most years, so it'll be the Haftarah of Pinchas and the Haftarah of Matos Maaseh. So what are those two? Those two are it's the beginning of Yirmiyahu, right? The first Haftarah, meaning the one we did this past Shabbos, is Perek Aleph into like three psukim into Perek Beis of Yirmiyahu, and then this week's haftara is going to be continuing exactly where we left off. So really, it's a two-parter, and then the third week again is Chazon Yeshayahu, the beginning of Yeshayahu. So it makes sense to, at the very least, take a look at an introduction to Yirmiyahu, understand who Yirmiyahu is, where, and his situation. Does anybody know anything about Yirmiyahu? Start.
I will, I'm sure, the second you start running that.
Okay. Okay, great. Yeah. So Yirmiyahu, let's start from the beginning. Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu min haKohanim asher ba'anosos be'eretz Binyamin. Right, so he was a Kohen who lived in Anasos in Binyamin. So Yirmiyahu was a Kohen, first of all. He lived in land of Binyamin, right? Kohanim. Where did Kohanim live?
Scattered.
Right, scattered. They had different communities all around. The Kohanim, the Levium, they didn't have their own lands. They had 48 cities, the sixth of Ari Miklat, and 42 other cities that they typically lived in throughout the country. They had many in Yerushalayim, obviously, but they lived all over. So anyway, this is Yirmiyahu. Asher haya dvar Hashem elav b'yemei Yoshiyahu ben Amon melech Yehuda. He was the Navi at the time, in the days of Yoshiyahu ben Amon melech Yehuda. Does anybody know Yoshiyahu? Yoshiyahu was the king of Yehuda. Is everyone aware of the split of the Malchus?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? There's Yehuda and Yisrael. So, right, what happened is just some basics. Also, hopefully through this, when you just take a look at a haftarah, even for a few minutes, beyond just the quick reading of school, and you actually take a look at it, but you'll hopefully get some basic ideos of Navi, and you'll be able to approach it more easily and understand haftarahs in their context a little bit more. So that we know that in the days of the son of Shlomo Melech, Rechavam, so there's a person named Yeravam. And the Malchus split, and it was no more just all of Israel was under one king, but rather it was basically two Shvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin, on which was Melech Yehuda, and Yeravam, who was from Ephraim, he had his own Malchus with the Saras HaShvatim, the 10 Shvatim, and there were two There are two kingdoms in the, among the Jewish people.
Where was the other kingdom? Where was the kingdom for, like, what's it called? For Yehuda.
There's just, where was it? Jerusalem. It was based out of Jerusalem.
No, wasn't it somewhere else first? And then they moved it to Jerusalem after David.
David was still in David's time. Meaning, David was the one who brought to Yerushalayim. He's the one who recaptured Yerushalayim.
So at that point, didn't it stop and split?
No, but that was before the split. The split was done in the days of Rechavam ben Shlomo ben David.
Yeah, that was the thing with the nevuah with the what's it called? Cloth, the 10 different.
Yeah. Very good. So Yoshiyahu was a great king. Actually, the Navi calls him possibly the greatest king to ever live. He had a tremendous Baal Tshuva movement, and he was a son of a very, very wicked king. He himself was probably a Baal Tshuva himself. I think you could say he was a Baal Tshuva himself. He was a son of a terrible, terrible king, Amon. Son of Menashe, whom you probably have heard of, very terrible king as well. And there's a big tshuva movement in his time. But things in general were challenging, as we'll see. Yeah.
Why does it say his father was the was Hilkiah?
Yirmiyahu's father was Hilkiah.
Totally, that you said something different just now before that.
No, oh, I said, no. Yoshiyahu was the son of Amon. Typically, the Navi tells us where, when I say the Navi, I mean the Sefer called, right, the Navi, right? As opposed to the Torah tells us, the Navi tells us that where the Nevi'im, and where they're from, and the time that they were the Nevi'im, which is helpful if you know the context of like the kings and the lineage, but if you don't really know Malachim, it's hard to know, okay, what does that mean? So I'm trying to give you a little bit of context. And Yirmiyahu, as opposed to Yeshayahu, lived well before the Chorban of Bias. Now Yirmiyahu lives in the generation of the Chorban. Who knows what Sefer Yirmiyahu authored, except perhaps here, Sefer Yirmiyahu? He's the author of another Sefer.
In
Ksuf.
How could, well, if it was in Ksuvim after... No.
Nevi'im and Ksuvim are not chronological, right? There's some before, some after. So Yirmiyahu wrote Eicha. Yirmiyahu witnessed Churban HaBayis, and he spoke about it. He says, "Ani Agever, I'm the man. I'm the one who saw this." Eicha is written by Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is so. What's different between like Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu? One of the major differences that he's referred to as like the prophet of. So they call him the Navi of Yeshayahu, the Navi of like Nechama, consolation, and Yirmiyahu is called like a Navi, the prophet of doom. That's how he's referred to, of Peronus. Because he actually lives in the generation of the Churban. He's the one who's telling everybody constantly, Hashem is going to punish us, it's happening quickly, and everyone is just continuing their ways. Because they say, listen, Yirmiyahu, come on. Things have been fine. Right, Yeshayahu has been saying this for years. Other Nevi'im have been saying for years something bad is going to happen, for over 100 years. Nothing's happening. And Yirmiyahu is, no, I'm serious. It's going to happen. And they're, we'll get to it. They're abusive to him, verbally, physically. He gets abused as the Navi of Hashem. And unfortunately, so he's vindicated in the end. We'll see that the Churban HaBayis does indeed happen. It's the I told you so that you didn't want to say. Okay, so let's take a look. Vayihi bimei Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu. So this is in the days of Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu. Melech Yehuda ad Tomash Deyasei Shana Litzidkiyahu ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda ad Golos Yerushalayim b'Chodesh HaChamishi. And it goes up until Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu is the last king of the Jewish people for this tekufa, right? There are later kings. Hashmonaim, I take the Malchus later on also, right? We do have later kings. Some people talk about King Bibi, but of this lineage of the kings of David Melech, in as far as Navi is concerned, this is really the end of it. So he is the Navi till the end, until the Golos. What's the Golos Hamishi? Right? Of course, this is the Churban Bayis. V'hi Devar Hashem ve'lai le'mor, Yirmiyahu says, the Nevuah, right, the Devar Hashem came to me saying, and before we continue, Yirmiyahu is going to do a lot of just telling us prophecies that he received from Hashem. Right, there's some narratives, but usually first person, at least the beginning of the Sefer, the first person from Yirmiyahu. There's a challenge that we get to when we come to the Nevi'im Achronim, and it's something that might be scary at first. We start learning, you know, if did anybody ever try like going through Navi, or is anybody still on the road to go through Navi, right? So when you go through the first part with Nevi'im Rishonim, so it's a smooth read. I mean, what you do with Mefarshim, without Mefarshim. Translation, not without translation. It's a relatively smooth read. You know, it's interesting story. And when you get to the Nevi'im Achronim, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, the Treyasar, it's a lot of prophecies. And as you know, even from learning Chumash, the prophecies in Chumash, the Shiros, and the Nevuos, and the Berachas Yaakov, the Berachas Moshe, it's very hard. It's very hard to understand. So it could be a little bit, intimidating at first, but when you get into it, you see it's unbelievably beautiful. It's incredibly, especially Yeshayahu, incredibly poetic. But there's a lot of symbolism and a lot of depth and beauty in the way it's expressed. So we'll try to get there together. B'terem etzarecha b'beten yidaticha u'b'terem teitzei mirechem yigdashticha. So he says that before I formed you in the stomach, I have known you, Yirmiyahu, Hashem's talking. And before you came out of the womb, I have sanctified you. I had sanctified you. Navi la goyim nesaticha. I have made you as a navi to the goyim. So what does this mean, the navi to the goyim? Navi to the goyim.
Just, yeah? I guess it's kind of like going on a not
my final
point of the
readers,
for like how far off they are. So I guess
very good. First Rashi here says, Navi Lagoyim Li Yisrael, Shahi Nogan Atmam Ka'akum. Kach Navi Mikrabecha. Right? That they were conducting themselves as Goyim. So that's what Rashi says.
Said he's gonna be arguing with them, right? And they're gonna be teasing him and doing all these things. Like, it's like not gonna be on their side more in terms of the things you're gonna say.
So what does Gai mean there?
So it's more that you're I don't know if it means literally Gai, but it's just more of like.
But what does literally Gai mean?
Say doing not abiding by the rules of Judaism.
Well, so what does the word goy mean? What's a goy?
Non-Jew, Gentile.
Is it? What's a goy kadosh? Goy means a nation, right? A goy kadosh is a holy nation, right? So, the different words for nation, right? The different words for nation, but a guy, that's what a guy means. So over here, when it says goyim, it usually means nations. Colloquially now we say, like, you know, it's not just colloquially. I mean, we say shalom asami goy. I mean, we don't mean, you're making me not a nation. I'm happy to be an individual. That's not what it means. It means it's a reference to non-Jews, but you don't see it necessarily so much in Tanakh, but Rashi's understanding here is Akum. Now, with that understood, Eitan, is there another? So, what were you saying?
It's kind of like you're you're going to say things that might be going, right, like, against what the nation is doing. So it's not like, it's not that you're going to be against them, but you're going to be saying things that they're not happy with. Right?
Okay, so why does that mean, so why is that Navi L'Goyim Satichaim? I mean, I've made you a Navi to nations or to Goyim.
Because it's saying that, like, you're going to be doing videos for, let's say, it's kind of a, I guess you'd say that I'm doing videos for separate, like, it's more of kind of like, I'm not giving you what this nation should be doing, I guess it doesn't work.
Okay. Sure, you can rethink about it, if there's anything like that. But anyway, Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu, I have appointed you. This is a job that, right, I was born for this job. People say that. I was born for this. So Yirmiyahu literally was born for this. Hashem says, in utero, I formed you and dedicated you and sanctified you to be the Navi. Yeah.
I mean, it is obviously like a share in itself. Doesn't this, I guess, poke at the question of
the Bechira? Okay. Yeah. It would probably be a separate share, yeah. Okay, but whatever it is, this is what he says. Va'omer, and he says, aha, Hashem Elokim, hinei lo yadati daber, ki na'ar nochi. He says, like, aha, right? So that actually means, like, ah, aha. That's what it means, like alas, behold, it's not really a word, it's like an exclamation. So he says, Hashem Elokim, behold, I don't know how to speak, because I am a na'ar. I'm a na'ar. I don't know how to do this job. But Yomer Hashem Elai, Al Tomer Na'ar Anochi. Don't say that. Don't say you're a na'ar. Ki Al Kol Asher Shlachacha Teilech. Rather, everything that I send you to do, go do. V'Yiskol Asher Atzavacha Tidaber. And everything that I command you, you should actually speak those words. So he says, Yirmiyahu, you've been appointed. Right? You're the chosen one. Yirmiyahu says, I think you got the wrong guy. I don't. I'm a na'ar. I'm young. I'm inexperienced. I don't necessarily, say everything, the right thing at the right time. Hashem says, don't say that. Rather, do everything that I tell you to do. Al tir mipneihem, do not fear because of them. Because of whom? The Jews that are going to antagonize you. Ki
yitchani. And then the Jews also.
What?
He translated as, then the Jews, don't fear because of the things I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. I wonder if anyone first would say that. Not that I saw, but it could be. Could be someone says that. Well, he says, let's see if that makes sense. Ki yitchani lehatilecha nu'um Hashem. Because I am with you to save you, Nu'um Hashem, the word of God. So it could be that he's saying, I'm going to tell you about really scary things. I'm going to tell you about the Korban. I'm going to tell you about horrifying atrocities that will take place against the Jewish people. But don't be afraid because I'm going to save you, which Hashem does. But as we go on, it seems that it's going to be that there are people who are going to antagonize him, and Hashem will save him from them as well. Hashem stretched out his hand and touched him on his mouth. Vayomer Hashem Eli, and Hashem said to me, sorry, he's talking. Hashem stretched out his hand and put it on my mouth. He touched my mouth. Vayomer Hashem Eli, hinei nisati devarai beficha. Behold, I have put my word in your mouth. Right, Hashem says he takes his devar and puts it in his mouth. Now, this obviously, what's happening here? What are we reading about?
Kind of like the quite anointing of.
Right. So the official appointing of Yirmiyahu. We are also seeing that, right, this is a nevuah, obviously. So it's not like he's like walking on the street and a giant hand comes. Right. So he's experiencing prophecy. And Hashem is saying, you're appointed for the job. Now, just a quick point about free will. It could be that there's another, just like a follow-up discussion that we would need to have, even regarding Yirmiyahu specifically, but you could have a mission with still having your free will,
yeah,
right?
I think there's something called guided free will. I think that there's barriers in which, like, you have to go down. It's the way in which you get to there.
Right. Well, I'm saying even less restrictive than that. I mean, that, yes, that's a discussion of its own. But I'm saying even less restrictive than that guided free will is having the kohos and potential and mission for something.
That's what he was giving him when he touched his mouth. It's more, it's not giving him the exact word, but he's giving him the ability to find the words.
Maybe, but we'll say that for in a moment. I'm saying even beyond that, meaning someone could be chosen for a mission, say, hey, what about free will? Well, you could do it or not.
Yeah.
You can choose not to.
It's like Esther.
Yeah.
It's like
story of Esther, right? Like someone's going to say the dreams, Esther wants to.
Yeah.
Right. So you are chosen. I'm chosen. Where's my free will? That's not what free will is, right? You have to keep the Torah mitzvos. I thought Hashem gives us free will. How can He command me to keep Torah mitzvos? He can. You have the free will to do it or not. So if Hashem says, "I have sanctified you, I have chosen you since conception, you have been chosen as the Navi." So
yes, but that's different than I placed words into your mouth.
Well, do we ever see somebody placing words into? Do we ever see Hashem placing words into somebody's mouth recently?
Don't we say Moshe Tanli? Moshe, like Hashem, not really like that, very different.
In the Parsha a couple of weeks ago?
Bilam.
Okay, so Hashem does that. Is that taking away free will? Temporarily, yes. If Hashem could do that temporarily. In general, there's a guiding principle of Bechir Chavshis. Great discussion by Paro as well. But over here also, it's not necessarily... that, meaning it's not to say taking away free will. He's saying, Yirmiyahu, if you accept this role, so I'm giving you I'm going to give you what to say. Don't be afraid. Don't say, Kinara noche, I'm an ar. It's interesting. Hashem says, Al tomar nar anochi. Do not say nar anochi. So this is that awkward thing when you tell somebody what not to say. It's awkward grammatically. You tell somebody what not to say. So you say, do you say you or I? Like, don't say, you're a nar. Or don't say, I'm a nar. Right? Here, I could be saying the same thing. I'm telling you, you don't say, quote, I'm a nar. Or don't say that you are a nar.
Yeah.
Now in Hebrew, there are no quotation marks. There are no words that indicate. So you can read it as, don't say that I am a nar. Meaning Hashem is saying, you're essentially, could be you're calling me a nar by saying, oh, I don't want to say. You're saying, I'm an amateur at being God, right? Because I'm choosing the wrong guy. Oh, sorry, you're Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu. I was looking for Yirmiyahu Goldstein. I'm so sorry, I got the wrong guy, right? Are you calling me a nar that I'm picking the wrong person? Or are you saying that I'm a nar and I don't have the right words to put the picha in your mouth and give you this nuah? So you know, it could be read as that. He's saying, you are the man for the job. He says, I'm going to give you the nuah. I'm going to give you what you know, you're going to express it the way you want to express it. Just following up for Judah the other day, that the Nevi'im, everyone expressed it in different ways. Their nuah and through their own experiences. Take a look. I have appointed you today over the goyim, over the nations, and over the kingdoms. To uproot, to smash, to la'abid, to make, to destroy. Laharos, also to destroy, to break, to turn over. Livnos, to build, lintoa, and to plant. What's weird about this? These phrases. Okay, so we'll let's articulate. Yes, it is. It is a little bit strange, but when we're able to properly articulate the questions, then we're much closer to getting the answers. He says, I have appointed you over these goyim mamlechos, linsos v'lintot l'halvid l'haros v'livnos l'intoa.
Yeah.
So what do you know?
So I think it's saying that I've appointed you, you're going to help me do once we do that, we'll be able to replant it and start anew in terms of...
Okay, so you're answering the unasked question. What was the unasked question?
Why there's so many different descriptions for one thing.
Okay, so that's a different important question, which I don't know if it's being answered here per se, but that's there are like two questions that you immediately think of when you see this. So one is what Binyamin's saying, it's a long list, right? It's this. Okay, one, in Navi it's common to see a double expression, to see six expressions. But then another question that we ask, once we take a look at these six expressions, is that four of them seem very destructive, but live nos to build and toa to plant. So those are very different. So that's what Eitan already jumped in to answer. He says, well, we're showing that it's the purpose. The purpose is to build and to plant. That's what we're trying to do. And this is important because Hashem is going to come with a lot, this is Peronos. And this is Shavuot Shavitamos, and this is the 3 weeks, and this is Tisha B'Av, this is Korban Abayis. This is what Yirmiyahu is going to be told about. And it could be that you would say, if you take a look, if there's six expressions, and you want to demonstrate that there's destruction and then building, so what would the split be? Two destruction, four building? Maybe.
Maybe three and three.
Maybe three and three, yeah. Maybe two and four. Right, what does it mean? There's six expressions. Linsos, lahavid, laharos. Right, and you see there's a little esnachta there. Linsos, lahavid, lahavid, laharos. Live no, spilling toa, right? The snachta is separating it. So it's clearly two different ideas in these six phrases, but maybe you select a three and three, but it could be that what it's trying to say is that it's going to be like, more than 50% destruction, right? It's going to be look overwhelmingly like destruction. You're not going to experience the full, rebirth of the nation, but you're going to see a lot of intense destruction. But you should know at the end of the day, livnos, v'lin toa, that's going to be for building and for planting. Right? In order to, like what happens in here, in camp, right? Sometimes to build a new building, you have to break down the building. Building 3, I think, was broken down in the last 5 years or so. You have to break down a building, and then you rebuild a nicer building. Right? Sometimes you have old, dead roots of trees. You have to uproot it. Shake up the ground a little bit, mix it up, plow, and then you can replant. So, Yirmiyahu, that's going to have to happen to our nation. Oh, wow, this is late. Okay, so what we're being shown is that there's going to be a great destruction, and then a rebuilding and planting, which also, what that means is that, sometimes you look at a building, and then you see people destroy it and then rebuild. So, but like, you think, what was wrong with the building in the first place? But you know that they wouldn't tear it down if there wasn't a reason for that tearing it down. So you may not see externally why, but it could be, what's going on? It could be there are termites inside, it could be that there's a really weak foundation, that the pillars are not functional, it could be that the material on the outside is weak. So it looks like it's a built structure, but you say, listen, in order to rebuild, we need to tear this down, and then we can properly rebuild. We need to, and a lot of it is vilintoa, to plant. Take a long time. Planting seeds, but it takes a long time. But clearly, if something, this destruction is going to take place, is for the purpose of rebuilding, that means that there is something that's destroyed. Meaning there's a standing base of Mikdash. There's a base of Mikdash that's standing. But there's something so destroyed about the base of Mikdash. Klal Yisrael are alive, they have food. But there's something so broken about Klal Yisrael, but they can't see it externally. And they're going to need to be broken down, pounded and pulverized and beaten and smashed and uprooted in order to be rebuilt, but it's something that they didn't necessarily see right away.
Are they going to be killed also?
There are many, 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 many Jews are going to be killed in the Korban HaBayis. But the nation will survive. As the nation is guaranteed to always survive. We will always survive. Sometimes a third of our nation is taken away, right? The Holocaust was a horrible, horrible, recent, very, very recent blow. to Klal Yisrael, but we're going to survive. There was always going to be that we're going to survive. Nothing's ever going to, right? Well, when we say like the Jewish people are unstoppable forever, we don't mean that every single Jew is immortal. We mean that the nation is immortal. There are other nations who have been completely obliterated and no longer exist on this planet. We will never be one of those. Right, and we're always relatively the same number. Also, Hashem says in Sefer Devarim that you are a small nation. Like he says it, he says I don't love you because you're very numerous. Because in fact, you're actually very not numerous. There are very very few of you. There are very few of you but it's always going to be that way. But that's not what makes you great. That's not why I made the bris with your forefathers. So anyway, that's what's going on here. This is the first half of the Haftarah of Matos. So I think what we're going to do, I think we're just going to continue straight. So we're not going to do the one shir, but we'll continue with this Haftarah tomorrow, and throughout the week we'll try to cover both of the first two Haftarahs of Parnusa, and then next week, Be'ez Hashem, we'll get to Chazon Yeshayahu, and if the 3 weeks turn around, hopefully we'll have some much nicer Haftarahs to learn together.